Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to visit with Serving Our Troops to learn about an upcoming mission, talk with Jim Finley about veterans employment, and get an update from the Minneapolis VA Hospital. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
Being a traditional Guard member, drilling primarily one weekend a month, means nearly all of our soldiers and airmen have other careers and other responsibilities outside of their military service. Two of the most prominent of these responsibilities are family and employment. The Minnesota National Guard recognizes this challenge of balancing responsibilities and provides resources to assist. Our family programs team works tirelessly to support our military families. They offer military youth programs, transition assistance for members preparing to leave the military, and a connection to other valuable resources. Our Employer Support of the Guard and Reserve program, known as ESGR, ensures that employers understand exactly what it means to employ a Guard member. The ESGR program also recognizes the standout companies in our community who provide exceptional support to our Guard members. Be it at home, at the office, or in uniform, we'll all do a better job and feel better about it if we've got the right support. Here in Minnesota, we've got that support.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As a lot of our listeners know, we record the show every week at the studios of iHeartMedia, specifically in the Twin Cities News Talk radio studio. And I sit in the chair of a gentleman who's here weekdays every morning. His name is Andrew Lee from Justice and Drew in the Morning, and he is the something of the founding father of Minnesota Military Radio. So, Father Lee, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm sitting in your chair, sir.
I've never been called Father Lee before. I don't know how I feel about that.
We should talk about that a little bit because I met you about 9 years ago.
Yep.
And we wanted to do a little bitty military radio public affairs show on Sunday mornings. And it's been quite a trip so far, hasn't it?
It's been amazing. I can't believe what you guys have done with this little seed of an idea that I had. I mean, the idea stemmed from a show that I had on a station that I managed down in Tucson, Arizona, which is the home of a Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. So we did a show that was kind of geared towards the people that lived there, the people that served there, the families there. And it was just essentially telling the stories of servicemen and women and their families. So I wanted to bring that idea up here, worked with one of our sales guys who had a relationship with you. We had lunch. All I did was give you the idea. You're the one that went and ran with it and got the National Guard involved. And
you're the enabler.
Got the VFW involved, got all these other groups involved, and it ballooned into this amazing program that you guys have been doing for going on 9 years now.
Almost 9 years. Almost we started right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 7 o'clock Sunday mornings. And pretty soon I came to you and said, they can't hear the show up at Camp Ripley. So we went to management and they said, well, let's make this content available to other radio stations, which doesn't happen in your business, does it?
Not often.
And since then, you've taken a ride on a C-130 up to Camp Ripley. You've been on a ride on a Black Hawk helicopter up to Camp Ripley. We've gone to Kuwait. We've gone to hell and back.
We've gone to hell and back, literally.
A little town called Hell in Norway. Yep. We went over to visit the Norway Home Guard.
Yeah, that was an amazing trip to Trondheim. It was just absolutely stunning.
And so now this is like show number 465. See what you've done to my life here? I had a simple life. Everything was easy. And now I'm over at the radio station every week. Telling some important stories about our military and about our veterans and their families, and what an incredible opportunity to tell those stories.
Well, and it's important. I mean, the idea was to give listeners, everybody talks about support the troops. Everybody wants to support the troops, but they're not often given of what that means and what you can do, things you can actually do to support the troops. And that's the really important part of what you do with this show, is you tell those stories and you give people avenues and means to take that desire and turn it into action.
And iHeart really stood up, iHeartMedia, and backed that desire by giving us this hour-long program, the studio and engineer, and allowing us to share these shows with now 56 stations in the network all over Minnesota. And it's produced by iHeartMedia, the Minnesota National Guard, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Minneapolis VA Hospital, Commander's Task Force, which is all the veteran service organizations in the state. We have the county veteran service officers on. We have the Minnesota Patriot Guard on. We've gone to Kuwait. We've gone to Norway. We went out for the commissioning at the USS Minnesota.
I remember that.
You didn't make that
trip. I wasn't on that trip.
We'll have to fix that sometime. But there's another trip coming up. And we're talking to Andrew Lee from Twin Cities News Talk AM 1130, and we've got another guest in the studio, Pat Harris. Pat, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Pat is the founder of Support Our Serving Our Troops, and we're going to tell that story in a minute in case you haven't heard it, Andrew. But I'm thinking back a few years ago, we went to Kuwait with Serving Our Troops. And did you ever dream you'd be sleeping in a barracks like the soldiers over in the desert? And there's dust storms. They call them sandstorms, but they were dust storms. I think you said you had dust in everywhere.
The parts I didn't even know I had. I was cleaning out dust for like 3 days after I got back.
We did the show that time, and I think it was 111 degrees up on the stage, and the guys that were cooking steaks. How many steaks did we cook on that trip, Pat? A couple thousand?
I think we did almost 3,000 that time.
Had to be 125, 130 degrees. And you just had some guys, although if anybody goes to St. Paul, they'd know some of the names of the cooks, wouldn't they?
Absolutely. You know, we had Mancini's, we had the Colossal Cafe, Skinner's, the Nook, Shamrock's. I mean, we had all sorts of great St. Paul restaurants there. And it was really hot in those grills, I'll tell that. Meat sauce was on the grill, and we had all sorts of great people that were serving up steaks, and it was boiling, and it was something we were just very proud to do, play our little role.
And it was really hot on that trip, Andrew, and we gave you the ability over there to go on your show live from the USO tent over there.
Yep, I think it was a Friday morning, did the Friday morning show live from there, at least my portion of it, and I'm really looking forward to repeating this adventure.
And at the same time, we had another iHeart character doing his show from the stage, and that was Chris Hockey from The Fan. And I won't mention The Fan again because this is News Talk.
It's all right. We love The Fan.
But I think it was the first time, at least as far as the military was concerned, that we not only had one show but two shows simultaneously coming all the way back to the Twin Cities from Kuwait and talking about all the great work that the folks at Serving Our Troops were doing. And they not only fed our troops, which were just a few hundred, they fed everybody who was at that base a nice steak dinner. It was incredible. They were out there in the heat and setting up the tables and a full meal. You got a lot of great people that have helped you with Serving Our Troops over the years, Pat.
Yeah, we've got an incredible team of volunteers. You know, Andrew had it was an awesome comment about people trying to find things to do to support our soldiers and their families. And Serving Our Troops was really a way to do that as well. And we have thousands of volunteers at home, and then all those restaurateurs and the companies that are part of it. It really is a group effort, and we do like to serve the entire base while we're there. We show the rest of America what Minnesota can do and what kind of communities that we have, and we have mayors that are at home serving steaks, and we have all these different organizations, labor unions, and when you have it all, and it just shows the rest of America that all these people in Minnesota, they stand up and they support soldiers and their families, and it's pretty special.
And Pat, I want to get to the origin story. I think this whole thing, Serving Our Troops, started at Mancini's one night.
It might have, yes.
And you were over there with some buddies and having maybe a little steak dinner and maybe an adult beverage or two.
Absolutely.
And the idea came up. Tell us about it.
Well, we were at Mancini's one night. It was in 2004, and we were having a steak dinner, and we were having some ice-cold grain belts, and we sat there and said, it's not really fair for us to be here doing this, and our soldiers overseas can't do this. And you know how a night in St. Paul can get going, and it gets going and going and going.
It's like an idea.
And we're like, we know some people in this town, and there's a lot of people that want to do something. Just like Andrew said, there's a lot of people that want to do something. And, we ran out that night and said, let's serve steaks to the soldiers. And we had a meeting a couple days later that Senator Norm Coleman set up for us with Denny Shields from the National Guard, and young Major Olson was at that meeting, now retired Colonel Olson. And they said, you're probably not going to be able to go to Iraq because the Minnesotans aren't concentrated and it's a little different. But we've got 800 Minnesotans in Kosovo right now. And if we think you can get the stakes over there, we might let you do it. And we pulled together a project with all sorts of people in the community. We raised money and decided that we wanted to serve the families simultaneously at home, which is kind of one of the signature pieces of what we do. And August of 2004, we served 2,500 steaks in Kosovo and another 1,000 back at home. And that's
so
how it started.
Late night idea stuck, and you made it work. And we're going to talk about more about that when we come back. We're talking to Andrew Lee and Pat Harris from Serving Our Troops on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Andrew Lee from Twin Cities News Talk AM 1130 and Pat Harris from Serving Our Troops today about some excursions to the desert and other places. And Pat started one night with an idea, and you followed up with the Minnesota National Guard, and off you went and started doing some of these events where you take steaks from St. Paul and all the fixings for a nice steak dinner, and you travel. You've traveled to a lot of places in the world.
That's correct. And this is going to be our 14th project, actually. And there is a ton of people that are involved in it. And, the mission is the same since when we first started. And when we first started, it was about a meal for the soldiers and for the families, like a fabulous steak meal with all the trimmings. And in the U.S., we get cold beer. You can't get that over there. And all these great things. And so it's a meal. It's a message from everybody in Minnesota, you know, businesses, individuals, organizations that say, hey, you know what, we're thinking of you, you know, you're over there, you're serving, you're back at home, the families are back at home, and we're thinking of you, this community is thinking about you. And then it's a message to the media and to the rest of Minnesota that National Guard members are deploying every day. And so those three goals are the same today as they were before, you know, and we're excited really to put on this, what we hope is a spectacular meal for about 4,500 people in Kuwait and another 1,500 or so back at in St. Paul.
So your organization, Serving Our Troops, have to do some fundraising. You have to have volunteers. You have to actually cut the steaks here in St. Paul and ship them over there. Do you ever have trouble getting the steaks and the food in the country?
You know, that's a great question because it's probably one of the most complicated things that we do. And when we first started this project, you know, they were wondering if we were going to be able to ship the steaks. And we have a great team. We have a guy, Todd Hurley, who is on his way back from Kuwait right now as we speak. And we shipped our steaks into customs in Kuwait, and he helps it get out of customs and moves to a warehouse and to a truck and to the base. And it's a very complex process to get our meat over there. But I just saw a picture of it. It's looking pretty good.
So he's your advance man, and he gets that all set up so that when you go over, things are there and ready and ready to go, and you're going over there again over Memorial Day weekend.
That's correct. We've got a team of about 40 people, and includes a lot of people that are part of this project. We have some extraordinary sponsors, you know, in Delta Airlines, which is incredibly supportive of our troops. Thomson Reuters, well-known in Minnesota to be supportive of the soldiers and families. PMA Financial, which is an organization I work at, and Xcel Energy, all these companies. We've got, like I said, some labor unions. We've got hordes of restaurateurs from the Colossal Cafe and Mancini's and Skinner's and O'Gara's, and Stephanie Schimpf from the Blue Plate Restaurant Group is coming, and it'll be her second time coming, which is fabulous. And so we just really have this incredible group of people coming with this meat, this message, and the support that we give to the soldiers. And it's just really a tiny bit. I mean, we're happy to do our small part for the important work that they're doing over there.
So you're going to go over there and you're going to cook a full meal for the soldiers and everybody else that's at the base. And at the same time, over in St. Paul, you're going to have the families in, and then you're going to hook them up so they can talk to their soldiers who are deployed.
That is absolutely correct. You know, we'll do about 2,500 steaks in one location, 1,000 or so in another location, and another 1,000 or so in another location in Kuwait. And then it gets live video linked back to St. Paul, where the families of the Minnesotans will be. And we'll have the national anthem from St. Paul piped in via video to Kuwait, which is a very moving experience. We've got all sorts of fanfare in the Twin Cities. We got McDonald's bringing ice cream. We got Shell's bringing beer. So there's lots for the kids. We got the Children's Museum is given free admission the whole weekend. The Science Museum is giving free admission the whole weekend and starting on Saturday through Monday. And so the whole thing is just really what we've been about since day one, which is dinner with the family. And that's what it will be on the 25th.
We're speaking with Andrew Lee and Pat Harris on Minnesota Military Radio. And Mr. Lee, You went along on this about 4 years ago, along with Chris Hockey, and you were able to do your shows live from the desert. We've got 650 Red Bull soldiers that have been over in the desert for months. They're on, they're on a downhill. They've got about 90 days left.
Right.
But you went around long last time, and you're going this time so that you can help tell the story that we've got Minnesotans over there risking their lives over doing their duty. Those soldiers are over in the desert, and you and the fan are both going along so that you can tell those stories.
It's humbling. It's an honor. It's it was the last trip was easily in my 20-something year career in radio, one of the highlights, one of my favorite moments, and the opportunity to repeat that is you know, it's just an honor. It's very humbling, and being over there and doing the, you know, serving the meal and doing the show is all amazing and it's all cool. But what I really loved and my fondest memories of that trip are just the downtime moments when, you know, you happen to stumble across or walk across a few soldiers who are hanging out having a conversation, and you end up sitting there chatting with them for 20, 30 minutes and swapping stories. You know, it's really, they're so grateful to have like a fresh face and someone new to talk to over there.
And somebody really come over here and cook steaks from us and right. remember that we're out there.
Yeah, yeah. It's an amazing experience. And thank you, Tom, and thank you, Pat, for you know, thinking to include us and giving us the opportunity to go along on this journey. It's really amazing.
And, Pat, this trip's going to be something of a benchmark because what number steak are you going to be cooking when you're over there?
We're excited to serve our 100,000th steak on this project.
And think of that, Mr. Lee, 100,000. Nice big steaks.
Yeah.
I mean, these aren't little steaks.
And I've eaten less than half of them, I swear. So
you're going to have to keep an eye on him, Pat. Put him behind one of those grills for a while so he doesn't eat up all the product. That's a lot of steaks. And it's not just a little steak. It's a New York strip, isn't it?
It's a top butt sirloin. So if you went to Man, and we did this on purpose, if you went to Mancini's tonight and ordered their special sirloin, that's the exact same cut. And we raise money and Stockyard Meats helps us with Tom Campion and all these people help us. And there is nothing better than watching a soldier walk up to the grill and say, I'll take mine medium rare.
And smile.
And that's special. And then we know that that's happening back in St. Paul too, which is extremely special to have it all done together.
And last time we went, I saw a number of soldiers went back and got an extra steak.
Oh, yeah, you got plenty for seconds.
And they took care of them. Now, Pat, you have to have talked to a lot of those soldiers and a lot of the people that have been a beneficiary of those steak dinners. They're really touched. They were emotionally moved when I was there. I mean, there's something special to this, not just the steak dinner for them, but the steak dinner for their families and to be able to talk to their families. You know, we didn't forget them. They're there.
Yeah, and that's our thing. It's dinner with the family. It's just this one thing. When you get deployed, your families and the soldier, they miss this around the table thing, and we created for this one moment, and we're proud to be a part of it. And we hear from a lot of soldiers and a lot of families, and we're doing it again on the 25th, and it'll be 100,000 steaks plus by the end of the day. And we just feel, like I said, very proud that so many people have come together to pull this together to and support their work.
Details are on a website?
Details are at servingourtroops.com. There's information on for families who haven't RSVP'd yet. If they want to get on an RSVP, it's going to be a special day. And you can learn about our projects, and there's a donate button as well for financial contributions.
Servingourtroops.com.
Servingourtroops.com.
Now, Mr. Lee, when you go over to Kuwait, our old buddy Sergeant Ben is over there. He's one of those 650 soldiers over there, and he's getting everything hooked up and ready, so it'll be like old home week for you.
I'm looking forward to seeing Sergeant Ben. I'm looking forward to the 24th that morning, 6 to 9, right here on Twin Cities News Talk. You'll hear, you know, typical Justice and Drew program, except the Drew part of it is going to be in Kuwait.
That'll be a lot of fun. You've done it before. And, of course, you can take your time coming home because on Memorial Day, we'll be doing a special edition of Minnesota Military Radio live on Twin Cities News Talk AM 1130 from 6 to 9 a.m. so you can have an extra day off to come home.
That's good because I'll be in London that day, so it'll be a little difficult to do the show.
Pat, you better get him an escort in London. We don't want to lose Mr. Lee over there.
We're on. I've already got that taken care of.
All right. Pat, we just got about 30 seconds left. You want to give us the details and the website one more time?
It's servingourtroops.com. It's Saturday, May 25th. 4,500 soldiers overseas and almost 1,500 at home. And it's dinner with the family again, and we're very happy to be a part of it.
100,000 steaks. That's a lot. And that all came from that one dinner at Mancini's. You probably had one too many of those grain belt
pigs. And, well, we're happy to do it, and there's so many people that have been a part of it.
Well, Mr. Lee, Pat, and all the crew that's going, I hope you have a great trip. And Andrew, don't forget, you're gonna have a wonderful two nights in that barracks with 40 other guys snoring.
Oh, good. I'll fit right in.
Well, Pat, thanks for coming today, thanks for all the good work you do. And Mr. Lee, have a great trip over there.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It was Andrew Lee and Pat Harris from Serving Our Troops on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us when we come back. We're going to talk to Jim Finley about veteran employment. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to speak to Jim Finley about veteran unemployment. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
Today, I'd like to spend a few moments recognizing mothers across Minnesota. These mothers might be veterans, they might be currently serving in harm's way, or they might have suffered the loss of their son or daughter in the service of this country. This is a time when the community comes together to acknowledge and thank mothers for their love, guidance, and nurturing. The influence of mothers has a tremendous impact on families and society overall. Whatever your situation, I want to thank you for the role you have played in the lives of our children and families across Minnesota. On behalf of everyone here at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and the veterans across this great state, I wish you fun and joyous day of celebration.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now from the Department of Employment and Economic Development is Jim Finley. Jim, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks for the invitation.
Jim, we've been on the air almost 9 years, and I think you must have been on the show 9 or 10 times by now.
I think so. You have been very generous.
Well, it's kind of important to make sure that all of our returning veterans have an opportunity to get gainful employment. And you've been working on this ever since about the time I came back from Vietnam.
That's very true, 1977.
Well, I came back.
You were back a little earlier than that, but I started right after I got out. So,
well, tell me about your position and where you started at DEED that many years ago.
Sure. I'm now the program director for Veterans Employment Programs at Department of Employment and Economic Development. I started in 1977 when I walked into a job service office to apply for unemployment insurance. And the veterans rep there called me a couple of days later and said, hey, Jimmy Carter has these great new jobs. They're called Disabled Veterans Outreach Program Reps, and they will help newly returning disabled Vietnam-era veterans find jobs. And I said, that sounds like a great idea, but it's not for me. I'm going to go to school. And he said, well, that's great, he said, but it's my responsibility now to tell you that you're no longer eligible for unemployment insurance because you just turned down a job. So that's how I came to work for the state. I said, do I start Friday or do I wait till Monday?
They had you in their sights and they reeled
you in. Yes, they did. Yes, they did. But I'll tell you what, I couldn't have picked a better direction. I have loved every minute of it. It's been very, very rewarding.
So you took the easiest, quickest route.
That's the first job that was offered to me when I got out. How we hear that so many times.
And you've been at it for decades.
I have.
Well, you've been over there and you've been helping veterans for all those decades. Things have changed over the years.
They have. You know, it's interesting. The one thing that has not changed is with veterans, it's about the mission. It's about what am I going to be doing and who am I going to be serving? And that never seems to change. Veterans are much less interested in the pay rate or the title. They're interested in what is the mission. And for many of us, that's why we joined.
And working for a fair organization that will reward them for their efforts.
That's right.
And
that's
give
right.
them a chance to move up through the organization.
Based on their skill sets and their abilities versus who you know or, you know, who might have put you in touch with somebody else.
Jim, so, we've talked right. about this before, but when I was in Vietnam, you show up, you do your job every day, you get a little bit of sleep, you come back, you do it again. And when you come back home to find a 40-hour-a-week job or even to put in some overtime, 50 hours a week,
right?
Nobody's shooting at you. Pretty easy to understand what you're supposed to do. It's kind of an easy gig.
It's one of the reasons employers are so anxious to hire veterans. is because exactly of that work ethic.
They show up on time.
They show up on time. They work till the job is done. You know, they don't leave because it's 4 o'clock and it's quitting time. Many of us continue to work till we either have the next step lined up or the job is done.
And they come back the next day and do it again.
That's right. That's right.
So throughout those 40 years, things have changed. And we've gone through periods of, you know, high unemployment and low unemployment. And you know, the one constant is our young people sign up, join the military, whatever branch of service they might go in. And when they get out, whether it's 4 years, 8 years, 20 years, they usually have to find employment because they, you know, they're not old enough to retire and they haven't saved enough. But through the years, how have the employers been? If they, I've heard that there's some employers at different times throughout your career that look at the veterans and say, "Oh, damaged goods. I don't know if I want them."
That's true, and you know, I've been working with a group, the Veterans Resilience Project, for a number of years, and that is all about getting veterans treatment for PTS that may not have insurance or other options for it. The fact of the matter is, when you talk about in my circles, we've started to talk about it as PTS. Many people, it's not a disorder. I've even heard people call it post-traumatic strength disorder. But the fact of the matter is, there are much, as a matter, the largest group of people that suffer from PTS are car accident victims.
Yeah, not veterans that not veterans. Off to war.
Second largest group is women, unfortunately. But you don't see on an application or you don't hear about employers having second thoughts about hiring somebody because they're in a car accident.
We're speaking with Jim Finley from Minnesota's Department of Employment and Economic Development on Minnesota Military Radio. Jim, our veterans today, whatever issue they may come back with, if they do have any issues, the VA medical centers around the country, and we've got one of the best in the Twin Cities.
Absolutely.
Know how to help them.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And they've got a number of different options. They go out of their way to attract veterans into their systems. My team and everybody I work with in that Yellow Ribbon Network is very well versed on how to put veterans in touch with the right people out at the VA. And they've got a building full of right people.
Jim, we've got some special groups of veterans, and they've changed over the years. But one thing that was constant is our Native Americans serve in as a much larger percentage of their population than we do. And they do a marvelous job in the military.
Yes, they do. In fact, it is one of our targeted populations. It's one of our groups that we go every year to Department of Labor and ask for additional money to provide services to those veterans. And the same thing with women veterans, and the same thing with what we've come to call justice-involved veterans.
Now, let's talk about women veterans. When I served in Vietnam, there was a really small percentage, very few women compared to the millions of men that served over there. But in the 40 years that have passed since then, almost 50, now we have, I think, in the Minnesota National Guard, 20 to 25% of those serving are women.
Right, right.
And the VA Medical Center has created a huge new women's clinic.
Yep.
And they're a whole nother specialty group that when they get out of the service, they need some help too.
They do. And as much as some people would like to believe that the experience is very similar for men and for women, it's not at all. And to learn that, you only have to talk to one female veteran. So we have identified some people that we've hired as veterans reps that have had military training and civilian training to deal with some of the challenges that women face as they come out of the military. You know, typically women, their unemployment rates are slightly higher than men's are. But there's some really good reasons for that, partially because in many cases, it's women who are staying home to raise families. They're typically more educated than the male veterans are. They're quicker to go to school than male veterans are. But again, we want to make sure that we take care of everybody. And Department of Labor's guidance has been to take care of our brothers and sisters that need the help the most.
And one of the tools you use is an annual, or maybe more often, Veterans Career Fair.
It is, and we're in the stages of planning that right now. We still have great hopes to be able to pull one off in July, which is what we've done for the last 12 years. But we've started to rethink this a little bit on what might be easier for veterans to attend and get to. So we may do two this year, one North Metro, one South Metro. We may focus on some specific industry sectors like healthcare and government and some other things that are areas in Minnesota where there's a huge need and a lot of open jobs that pay good salaries with benefits.
And Jim, unemployment's at a rate that's lower than it's ever been in our lifetime.
Absolutely.
And employers are looking for some good employees. They're begging for them.
They are. In fact, MinnesotaWorks.net is Minnesota's labor exchange tool. And if you go on that site, you'll see that there are about twice as many job openings posted there as there are resumes posted. 5 years ago, that was exactly the opposite.
So plenty of opportunities for any veterans out there seeking work. And even when the women veterans get past the child-rearing age and want to re-enter the workforce,
yes,
there's all kinds of opportunities out
yes,
there.
Yes, yes. No, employers are hungry for veterans because they know their performance records.
Jim, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we'll speak more with Jim Finley from DEED, Minnesota's Department of Employment and Economic Development, on Minnesota Military Radio. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking with Jim Finley from Minnesota's DEED, which stands for the Department of Employment and Economic Development. And Jim, most of the years I've known you, you've sent people to a certain site, but you've got a new one now.
We do. DEED has gone through a rebranding, and we're now part of a much larger operation. It is truly a business-led network of public, private, and nonprofit partners. There are 16 workforce service areas around the state, and each area has their own board, but they also include what we now refer to as career force locations. We used to call them workforce centers. The mission is the same, the partners are the same, the resources are the same. We're changing the brand to reflect, again, this much larger operation and partnership that includes, local public-private partners that are all interested in economic development and workforce development.
So now you send everybody to careerforcemn.com.
Correct.
All right. Jim, it seems to me over the last decade or maybe longer that public and private, everybody seems to be working together a little more closely and more efficiently than they have in the past. Is that because of economic conditions? Is that because of low unemployment? Is that just because it's evolved?
I would say all of the above. And the other thing, the really important piece to remember on this, Minnesota led the way with their Yellow Ribbon Network. And for those that may just be learning about this, Yellow Ribbon Network, again, is a group of public and private groups, state agencies, federal agencies, county agencies, that have all come together over the last 10 or 11 years to create a system whereby we are getting to service members early. In fact, Minnesota sends a team down to the military bases in other states where troops are coming in, and they get briefed on employment opportunities and resources. The county veteran service officer is there to talk about benefits that they might have. Minnesota State is there to talk about educational benefits. It's just a real, it's an incredible bunch of people.
They help with resumes, they help with interview skills.
On our end, yep, we do. We do, and we can do that in Career Force locations too.
Very good. And once again, that's careerforcemn.com. And now, Jim, we just got a couple of minutes left. And as we said earlier in the show, you've been joining us on Minnesota Military Radio for years. We're coming up at the end of our ninth year, if you can believe it or not. And we're now heard on 56 stations all over Minnesota. You've been with us throughout the entire ride, and the show's going to keep going. But you started out serving in the Army, and then you spent 40-some years over at DEED, and now we're coming to the end of that career.
We are, and I tell people, it's like I never got out, because my job has been so close to the military, and I talk to people coming out of the military every single day, and to employers. It's just been a wonderful existence. I told you earlier, if you gave me my choice, I couldn't have picked a job that I would have gotten more satisfaction out of than what I'm doing right now. And I have a team behind me that is absolutely incredible.
Somebody was watching out for you, Jim.
That's right.
You're a veteran, and you got to spend a career helping veterans find work and find jobs. And now you've come to the end of that. What's the future? What does retirement mean for Jim Finley? I can't imagine you being retired.
No, and I won't be in the traditional sense of the word. My goal is to stay involved in the vet space because that's what I love and that's what I feel satisfied doing. I've got some resources, I've got some background on that, and I think I can contribute to other organizations that are working in that space. I work with a couple of groups now. I will continue to work with them, and I'm always looking for the next mission.
Well, Jim, we've enjoyed having you on the show, and I'm proud to call you a friend. And somehow or other, I think we're going to see the reincarnation of Jim Finley, and you'll find some reason to get back on Minnesota Military Radio and tell us about how you're helping veterans in retirement.
That's a goal of mine.
And it's a goal of ours, too, Jim. It's been a pleasure knowing you all these years. Thank you for all the work you've been doing, and thanks for joining us over the years on Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, Tom, thanks for all you do. I know people in the veterans community are very familiar with you and what you do, too, so thank you.
Thanks, Jim. That was Jim Finley, formerly from Minnesota's DEED, the Department of Employment and Economic Development. Joining me now is Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. Director Kelly, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Yeah, hi, Tom. Thanks for having me back.
Director, I think the winter's over, and I was out there last week, and everything looked pretty good. Hopefully we don't have to plow any more snow. And do you have any more projects going on?
Well, I hopefully don't have to plow any more snow either. I feel sorry for our colleagues up in northern Minnesota who may not be able to say the same thing. So we got a lot of construction projects going on around the building, with much of which has to do with some of our mental health areas and some of our inpatient wards. But as you've noticed, and you've said it before, you need to wear your hard hat when you're out here, because there's we're fortunate in that we always have some new improvements going on, and with summer coming up, we'll have even more. So.
Director, I had a pleasant surprise last week. I got there early because I didn't know what the traffic was going to do, and I ducked into the chapel, and 7:30, there was morning mass. So I had time for that and then go down to the blood draw. It was great.
Jeez, what a great deal. We have mass out here for your Catholic listeners twice a day, 7:30 and 11:30, and they are always welcome to attend those. And, you can even, in blood draw, there's probably no line down there. We've cut our lines significantly, so... Yeah, you can hit mass and get your blood drawn all before 8 o'clock in the morning.
That was in and out quick. Director, I understand that the VA is adopting a no-smoking policy.
Yeah, we are starting that very soon. And in fact, the end of May, we're adopting a tobacco-free policy. And again, in large part, it's in recognition that, most public sites and certainly hospitals have gone to a policy where, the smoke, secondhand smoke, is harmful to veterans and staff, and so, we're going to work with those veterans who are smokers to get them support that they need, support groups, things that they can get when they're here in order to support that. But, we felt like it was important. Actually, my boss, Rob McDivitt over at the VISN, thought it was important that all of us in the VISN, send the right message, health message, and. Part of that is to be a smoke-free campus. So, yeah, that is starting May 29th here, and so it's coming right up. And I appreciate that it's going to be a struggle for some staff and veterans who are smokers, but we're going to try to help them. But I think the message is good and it's clear. Smoking is not good for you, and we're going to do our very best to make sure that none of our veterans or staff are exposed to secondhand smoke when they don't want to be.
Yes, sir. Director, you have we usually talk about the hospital, but you have 13 C-boxes, community-based outpatient clinics in Minnesota and western Wisconsin. Is there any news going on out there?
Yeah, so the C-boxes are intended to really make it so that veterans don't have to go so far to get at least primary care, mental health services, and occasionally some other services, depending on the size of the C-box. So yeah, a couple things. One, we're having a couple of open houses, one at Hibbing, and that's going to be May 15th from 11 to 1. The second one's going to be up in Ely. So that's our northernmost clinic, and again, that's going to be the following day, May 16th, again, from 11 to 1. So I know we don't have a large number of veterans certainly in Ely, more so in Hibbing, but any of your listeners that are in the area and want to go see those two clinics, where we've made some expansion in those two clinics recently, May 15th in Hibbing, 11 to 1, and then in Ely, again, 11 to 1, the following day, May 16th. I want to mention too, Tom, we have had a clinic in Rochester for many years. We are opening a new clinic this July. I don't have a date yet in July, probably be around mid-July. It's going to double the space of that existing clinic. It's going to add x-ray services, and it'll be a more accessible space in Rochester. It's going to be the old Fleet Farm building south of the city. And so more space, more services, more accessible. So I think it's going to be a good thing. And then finally, we have a clinic up in Hayward, Wisconsin, and that clinic is moving to a new location. A little more space, a few more services, a couple little extended services in some areas. So four of our nine clinics got something going on this summer, and so thanks for the opportunity to mention that. And the clinics are an important part of our doing our work. A lot of veterans don't want to come to Minneapolis to get their health care, so to the extent that we can put it out where they live, it's better for them, and it makes their life better.
Director, we just got about 30 seconds left. Are you hiring?
Always, especially in those outpatient clinics. You know, we're struggling right now, Tom, recruiting physicians and nurses in some of those outpatient clinics. And so we have nine clinics up and down the state of Minnesota, ranging from Albert Lea to Ely, and four clinics in western Wisconsin, from Duluth down to Chippewa Valley. So you bet, if there are providers, particularly providers who are looking for work, VA is a good place to work. We would really appreciate getting them to come to work with us so we can support veterans, make their lives better. We are always looking for those kinds of workers.
Very good, sir. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Tom. Nice talking to you.
That was Director Pat Kelly from the VA healthcare system. We have two mentions today. The 6th annual Bros Clinic Memorial Day Murph Challenge has a new home this year in Wayzata. Athletes will complete the Murph workout, which includes a one-mile run, 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, 300 squats, followed by another one-mile run. It's named after Navy SEAL Lieutenant Michael Murphy, who was killed while serving in Afghanistan in 2004. And also, last Memorial Day, Flags for Fort Snelling lost a staggering 60,000 flags to weather and mishandling. But they have an exciting new, sustainable, retractable flagstaff designed to cut annual flag loss to virtually zero. Learn more and be part of the solution by donating at flagsforfortsnelling.com or call 763-296-FLAG. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Andrew Lea and Pat Harris, Jim Finley, Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we talk about Minnesota veteran homelessness and get a Red Bull update from Kuwait. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.